Okay, today's daf is about Metzia Daf Ayin Gimel. We've got a lot of catching up to do. We are up to the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So let's see. The Mishnah is going to discuss something we've discussed on several occasions already in this parak, and that is the idea of a forward contract. The idea that I'm going to sell you something at a price for future, for later delivery, at a price today, for a delivery at a later time, and it presents a problem of ribis because prices change. And the assumption is that because you're paying me early, I'm giving you the better price. But if you were to wait a little bit later, you'd be getting a worse price, and that's smacks of ribbis. So says the Mishnah. There we're going to find within the course of this Mishnah, and we've already seen through the course of this parak, that there are two exceptions. There are two cases where that's mutter. One of those cases is where there's already an established shar b'shuk. There's already an established set price out there, and if the price is yadua right now, so when you give me the money at that price, theoretically I could go buy the produce right now and provide you with the produce. So it's not necessarily on a delay because the price is out there right now, and that would solve the ribbis problem. The other is if yeshlo, I already have the produce. It's not that I don't have it right now and I'm buying time until I have it. I already have it right now. Those are the two exceptions, and we'll see it in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein poskan al peiros ad sheyetzei ha-shar. You can't be posek, you can't enter into a forward contract on peiros until the shar is established, until the price is established. Yatzah shar poskin v'af pi she'im l'zeh yesh l'zeh. Once the price is established in the market, then you can enter into such a contract, because even though I might not have the produce, but somebody else does at this price, and I can go and buy it if I want. Hayahu tchila l'kotrim. What if you're the first one to be harvesting your field? So poskim al agadish, you're allowed to enter into a contract as long as you have the pile of grain ready. I mean, even though it's not totally ready, you didn't do the miruach and you didn't do everything else that needs to be done to get it completely ready for delivery, but you have the grain piled in your warehouses. That's good enough. That's called yeshlo. This is the second exception of yeshlo. That's called that you have it. Vala avit shalanavim. Similarly, if you have the grapes in a big vat, so they're softening in the vat, but you haven't yet completely produced the wine from them, but still that's called yeshlo, and you're allowed to enter into a contract for the wine. Valamat and shalzesim. And similarly, if you have olives in a big vat and they're softening up to be pressed to produce oil, so even though you don't really have the oil as a finished product, but it's still good enough. It's called yeshlo because you're well on your way to having the oil. Vala beitzim shel yotzer, and similarly on the beitzim of a yotzer, which Rashi says beitzim is like some type of clay implement that they would use to make other kelim. So that was again, you're well on your way to having the kelim. Vala sid mishashaku bekivshan, and on the limestone from when they put it into the furnace that hardens it. So in all of these cases, again, you don't really have the finished product yet, but it's considered yeshlo because you're really close to having the finished product, and therefore you're allowed to enter into a forward contract on that product. And when it comes to selling manure, that you could do any day of the year. We assume that Kol Yemos Hashana is going to be okay because the it's always available. Rabbi Yossi Omer in poskan al zevel elim ken haysalo zevel ba'ashpar. Rabbi Yossi says no, you have to actually have it available to you in order to enter into a forward contract for zevel. It's not good enough that that somebody has it or that it's always generally available. But v'cham matirim v'cham say it's mutter, even if you don't have it in your own yard, it's still going to be mutter. So the Gemara is obviously going to deal with it's a little bit unusual. We say Tanakama says mutter, Rabbi Yossi says aser, and the Chacham say mutter. So what's the difference between the Tanakam and the Chachamim? They both seem to be saying the same thing. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. Next, uposikimo bishar hagavoa. So Rashi says the word gavoa is a little bit misleading. Right? Shar means price, gavoa means high. So you would think this means a higher price. Rashi says it actually means a lower price. It means a higher amount of produce for the same money. Right, so that it actually is the shar azul, it's actually a lower price. So essentially what you're allowed to do, Rashi explains what this means, posigmok shara gavo, if you look at the second to last skinny line of Rashi, im yifchos ha-shar mimashu achshav, titein li kishar hazul, that I enter into the deal where I say, look, if the price goes down from what it is now, then you have to give me that produce at the cheaper price. And I'm entering into a contract for, here's the money for what the produce costs right now. And I'm assuming it might go up, and therefore I'm paying for right now what right now's price. But if it goes down in price, and I could end up getting more for that money, then I want you to give me at the lower price that's going to go down to. Rashi says, "Kisharzul shara gavoa hainu bezul shenosim peros harbe b'damim watim." Shara gavoa means you get more produce for the less amount of money. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afal pish lo pasukim al b'shara gavoa yachalom lo ten li kazer ten li esma osai." Even if you didn't explicitly say it, you didn't explicitly say that if the price goes down, I want to get it at the lower price, still you're allowed to say later on, when it does go down, look, you can give it to me at the lower price or give me my money back. I'm going to cancel the deal. So you're allowed to beg out of the deal at that point in time. If you look at Rashi, ten li kazeh o ten li ma'osi, shrei lo mashach. He never did a kinyan mashicha, and therefore v'yachal lachzer bo. He's still allowed to back out on the deal. I mean, if he sees that it turned out to not be a good deal for him because the price went down, so Gzantayit, he could back out. V'afilu mishapara leka. And he doesn't even incur the curse of a mishapara. The mishapara may actually dara mabul, may actually dara flag, the same Ribbono Shlom who punished those dishonest people should punish someone who doesn't keep his word. Even that he doesn't have. He doesn't have to worry about. Because when he gave his money, he never intended to receive anything at the time that he gave his money. He only wanted to receive something at a later time. So, and during that time lag, the price went down, and we assume most people would want something at the lower price. So it's as if he had das for such a deal, even though he didn't explicitly say it. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so says the Gemara. The Mishnah started out by saying that you need to, if you're going to enter into a forward contract, you need to wait until there's an established market price. Once there's an established market price, forward contracts are mutter. Says the Gemara, Am Rabasi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Poskan al Shar Shebashuk. You cannot enter into a forward contract even though there's an established market price. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeir Rabasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu kedormus hazeh. Really, even if it's the large market where everything is very much kavua, where it's very well known and very much kavua exactly what the price is, still you're not, and it's very available. All this produce that you want at that price that you're being posek, it's clearly available right now. Still, you're not allowed to enter into a forward contract for such a thing. So he says, Amalei, lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan al b'shuk shel ayaros. No, we're only talking about in the city marketplaces that don't have such firmly established prices. That's why you can't rely on their prices. You need it to be an established market price in the largest shuk with the highest traffic where things are very much firmly established. That's what you need to wait for before you enter into a forward contract. But the Gemara asks, wait a second, what was our Havamina? The Havamina was that even if it's in the largest market where it's the most firmly established price, we had such a Havamina that it's going to be considered us to enter into a forward contract even under those conditions. According to our Havamina, that even in the Dormus market, it's going to be Aser. Elamas Nisan Dektani in Poskin al Peros Achietze Ashar, Yetz Ashar Poskin. But then how are we going to understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to enter into the contract until the price is established, but it sounds like once the price is established from our Mishnah, that's okay, then the forward contract is okay. But Hechi Mishkachasa, where do you ever have such a case? If even the largest market there's an established price is not good enough, so where do you ever have such a case? We're talking about the wheat that comes on from the major storehouses and ships, where the price lasts even longer. So if the price is established there, that's when you can enter into a forward contract. That's what we would have thought. But any of the local markets, even the biggest local market, would not be good enough. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So the Braisa says what our Mishnah said, that you're not allowed to enter into a forward contract until there's an established market price. Once there is an established market price, Gesundheit enter into a forward contract, because even if the seller right now does not have the produce, somebody else has it available at that price, so that's good enough. If the newer produce was selling four sa'as for a sella, meaning a larger amount of produce for a small amount of money, v'yishanas mishalosh, and the older produce was more expensive. It was three sa'as for a sella. Why would the older produce be more expensive? Because if we're talking about, let's say, wheat, where it's not really so usable until it's completely dried out. You want to grind it and make flour. When it's wet, when it's a little bit moist, it's not so good to grind it and turn it into flour. So the newer produce is actually cheaper than the older produce. So in post yashan, you're not allowed to enter into a forward contract on the new produce until the price evens out. Until the new produce has a chance to get old and the price evens out, and it's one established price for all grain, for all wheat. Hayu lukutos me'arba l'kala d'mishalosh. What if you have people who are lukutos? Lukutos are like the aniyim that go around to the fields after you're already done harvesting, and you know there's a little bit of leket, shich, chapeh, or whatever is left in the fields, and they gather in whatever it is that they could gather from the fields. They obviously end up with a lower quality of produce. Rashi explains not only because they come in after you've already taken all your good stuff, and a lot of other people have gone through the field, a lot of other aniyim also go through the field to take all the good stuff, so they're left with whatever is, you know, garbage is left at the very end, but also because they have a little bit from this field, a little bit from that, there's no consistent product. Right, so because they don't have a consistent product, they have a little bit, they have a potpourri of produce from different fields, and who knows how much bran is mixed in. So therefore, their produce is generally of a lower quality. But they're going to sell it because they need to make money. They're aniyim, so their produce is selling four sa'as for a sella, ulakala the mishalosh. But regular people's produce is selling three sa'as for a sella. You're not allowed to enter into a forward contract, even with a regular guy, even not with the Lukutos, until there's a consistent price for everybody. Amrav Nachman, poskim Lukutos kishar Lukutos. Rav Nachman says, though, no, you can enter into a contract with the Lukutos at the Lukutos price, right, at the price that the Lukutos are supposed to be charging. Amrle Rav L'Rav Nachman, so Rav asks Rav Nachman, Maishna locate, why is it that with a locate, with the ani, you're allowed to enter into such a deal, even if he doesn't have the produce on hand right now, because the lesla yazv mi lakut chavre, because obviously the assumption is that even if he doesn't have it with him right now, it's a forward contract, right? So he doesn't have it right now, and but he's entering into an agreement with you, and the reason that that's okay is because someone else has it, and he has there are plenty of poor people that do have it available, so you can go and get it from them. But balabayis nami yazv mi lakut. Why can't you enter into such an agreement with the balabayis at the price of the lakutin? And if the balabayis doesn't have the produce, let him go get it, borrow it from another lakut, from a person who's an ani who has at the lakuti prices. So Amalei says, no, it's a big difference. Balabayis zilbe milsa the maze of milakut. A balabayis, it's beneath him to go to a lakut to receive produce. It's beneath his dignity to do it. So he's not going to. Whereas a lakut will go to lakut chavre. Ibay sema mandiyav zuzi le balabayis apiri shapiri yav. Or the other possible explanation is, when you get into a deal with the balabayis, you don't want the lakut's produce. You want the balabayis' produce. You're hoping for good peros. You don't want bad peros. So the fact that the balabayis can go to the lakut doesn't help. He can't provide you with what you want if he's going to go to the lakut. Amrav sheshes amrav huna. Ein lovin al shar shabashuk. You cannot. Now this is a new thing. This isn't about buying based on a forward contract. This is about lending based on a forward contract. What does that mean? That so Rashi explains the case very simply. There's actually two days in Rashi. We're going to stick with the first one. He says, Ein lovin al shar shabashuk means that I can't lend you money al menas, that if you don't pay me until a certain amount of time, so you're going to instead give me peros at today's prices. Now, regardless of what the price is at the time that you're paying me back, you're going to give me peros at today's prices. So even though it's originally a halva'a, and it's a halva'a to receive payment, and the payment is not supposed to be a ribbis payment, you're supposed to pay me, I lent you $100, you're supposed to pay me back $100. But if you don't have the $100 and you don't pay the $100 by a certain amount of time, so then you're guaranteeing me produce at today's prices, $100 of today's prices worth of apples, even though in the future market the price is going to be totally different. That's going to be aser. Amli Rav Yosef bar Chama l'Rav Sheshes, v'amli Rav Yosef bar Abba l'Rav Sheshes, u'miyam Rav Huna hachi, does Rav Huna really say that that's aser? V'abamine Rav Huna, didn't they once ask Rav Huna, Hani Bnei Bei Rav, Tiyasvi B'Tishrei, Upari B'Teves, Shario Asir? They asked him, when people lend money in Tishrei, and they pay back payros later on in Teves, based on the prices of Tishrei, is that Mutra or Asir? And Amaluhu, Hachiti Bihini, Hachiti Bishili, Ibai Zavni Parile. He said, nah, it's not us, there's no problem. There's wheat is readily available. So the fact that you're giving it at the price at the time of the loan, rather than the price at the time of the payback, that's fine, because at the time of the loan, the person could have taken the money and bought the produce right then. And then it would have been a fair deal. It was available, so there's no problem with that. So isn't that exactly our case? Where I lend the guy money and I say, look, if you don't pay me back the $100 within 3 months, so then I want $100 worth of apples at today's prices, not at 3 months from now's prices. And Rav Huna apparently had a problem with that. So it's a stira in Rav Huna. Answers the Gemara, not a stira. People are entitled to change their mind sometimes. Meikara savra Rav Huna ein lavin. Originally Rav Huna thought you cannot make a loan with such a deal. Kivin desham lahadam Rav Shmuel bar Chiya amar blazer lavin amar iu nami lavin. Once he heard that others said that you can, he said, okay, you know what, that makes sense too. And he changed his mind and he said that you're allowed to enter into such a loan arrangement. Tarabanan, new case. There are a lot of individual cases in today's daf, and a lot of them the Gemara doesn't really explain in great detail what the cases are. Just, you know, it gives sort of rashi prakim. So we just have case after case today. So, new case. A guy is bringing a bundle of produce from one place to another. Why would you bring it from one place to another? Because it sells for cheap where I am now. If I bring it somewhere else, it will be much more expensive. So I'm going to go and bring it to another place where it's not as commonly found and it demands a higher price. So I'm bringing the chavila of produce from one place to another. Matzu chaver, and then his friend finds him. Vamelo tenei, says, you know what? Give me the bundle here. Vani alach derech malach bosamakom. I'll pay you the price you would get in that place that you're going to anyway. Right. So let me give you that higher price, even though over here where we are now, it should be for a lower price. Let me give you the higher price. I'll save you the trip. And I'll take the produce off your hand. Now, why would the guy want to do that? Why is he giving such an offer to pay the higher price? Because apparently, he's going to go bring it to this other place. He's going to sell it for that price. And he'll have use of the money. He'll have use of the money for that time period. Right? Says Rashi, and I'll be able to use that money until X amount of time. Meaning, he's not paying up front. He's saying, I'm going to go give it to me. I guarantee you the higher price. I'm not paying you right now up front for it, but I guarantee you if it's supposed to cost $100 here, $200 to where you're going, I guarantee you I'll give you $200. Just give me the produce. So I'm going to take it. I'll go to that place. I'll sell it for $200. And I'm not going to right away run back and give him the $200. I'll have $200 to use for a little while. And then eventually I'll give it back. So, Birshus Mocher Mutter. It depends who takes responsibility while the produce is in transit. If the mocher is the one who takes responsibility for the produce, if something were to happen to it, it would be the mocher's loss, the seller's loss, while it was in transit, then it's mutter. Because then it turns out that when the other guy is taking, the second guy is taking it to the more expensive place, he's really just the shaliach of the mocher. Right? It's not really a loan. He's just the shaliach of the mocher. It only becomes a loan when he sells it in that place. Well, he sold it in the place where it actually is more expensive, so there's no ribbis issue. He sold it in a place where it's actually, where that's its real value. But Bereshus Lokeach Aser, if Lokeach takes responsibility for it, then it's Aser. Because then it becomes a loan right here in the cheaper place, and I'm going to pay him back in the more expensive price. So then it already becomes a problem of ribbis. It's going to be Aser. Tosus points out, Bereshus Mocher Mutter, but what about the value of him going through the trouble, the second guy going through the trouble of taking the trip and all the work he has to put in to guard it, etc., while he's until the point that he sells it. So says tells us you have to assume he's getting paid for that separately. Meaning he is getting paid by the first guy for all of his trouble. Otherwise, that would have to enter into the cheshbon, that he's doing that work for free, and that would be a ribbis problem. So you have to make that assumption. Fractosos, yeah, but vim tomarim kein makamashvelin. Then what's the big chiddush that if the mocher takes responsibility that it's mutter? The lokeach isn't taking any ribbis, there's no ribbis issue. He's getting reimbursed for his work. There's no, he's not paying anybody any ribbis. What's the havamina? So he says, Einachinami, there's no havamina that it should be a problem. The whole chiddush is the second half of the statement, that berushus lokeach aser. He says, Yeshlomer, the seifa itzrich le berushus lokeach aser. We need the seifa to teach me that halacha, the salka daitach, to lo mechzik ribbis. I might think that it doesn't really look like ribbis, kiven shu mocher b'makom ayoker. Because yes, even though I'm entering into a deal where I owe the guy money here in the place where the produce is cheap, but still I don't actually get any money for it until I sell it in the place where the produce is expensive. So since the money only starts coming in that place, I might think that it's not called ribbis. K'moshu nosan lokan b'makom azul. So it would be the same thing as since I sell it in the Makom HaYoker, so it's as if I've given it to him in the Makom HaZul. So I might think that it's not considered a ribbis issue. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, that it's aser. Next case, Hamoluch Peros, we're finally in today's daf. Hamoluch Peros b'makom l'makom. If a person brings produce from one place to another, Matzu Chavero, and his friend finds him, v'amrlo t'namely, give the produce to me, v'ani alucha peros sheyesh li boso makom. And I'm going to give you back peros that I have in that place, in the more expensive place. I mean, you give it to me here in the cheaper place, and when you get to the expensive place, I have the same exact produce waiting for you in the more expensive place. So essentially, all I'm going to do is save you the schlep of having to bring these peros to the more expensive place to sell them. You'll have these peros already waiting for you in the more expensive place. You'll be able to sell them there. I just want them here right now. So yeah, and I don't have it available to me here right now. So miyeshlo peros posel makom mutter. If the guy actually has peros in that other place, then that's totally mutter. That's fine, because it's what I'm doing is I'm bartering the fruits right now. I can take my apple and say, here, give me your apple and take my apple. If they're the same, there's nothing wrong with it. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Now, what I'm not allowed to do is sa b'sa. I'm not allowed to take your apple and say, I'll give you back an apple in a week from now, because the price of apples can change. But if we both have an apple right here, I can barter mine for yours. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm taking your produce. I have produce, Boso Makom. You're being koni it right now when I take your produce. You didn't do a mashicha on the produce. You didn't do any form of kinyan. So Rashi says, V'yafal gav de lo mashich, sa b'sa alav ribis k'tutzihi alav ak ribis. The whole issue of sa b'sa anyway is not real ribis d'oraisa. It's only avak ribis d'rabanan. V'chiyesh lo gazer, and the rabbanan didn't make such a gezerah when you actually have the produce in your possession. So even though in a chinami, it's not a full kinyan, but it's good enough to get around the problem of avak ribis. V'im lav aser, but if I don't have the produce in that place, then forget about it. It's going to be aser. V'achamarin malim b'makom ayoker k'makom azul v'in choshin. The donkey drivers who would make money by bringing grain from a place where it's cheap to a place where it's more expensive, they're allowed to take money from wealthy balabatim in the place where it's more expensive, al menas that they're going to give them the peros at the lower price, and we don't worry that this is ribbons. Meaning, I'm going in a place where it should cost $200. I'm taking money from balabatim, saying, you know what, give me $100. And in 2 weeks from now, I'll pay you, the full value of the produce. Meaning, because where I buy it, it only costs $100. So don't worry, I'll give it to you at my wholesale price for the place where the wholesaler is. So that's okay, and it's not a problem of ribbis. So my time, why isn't it a problem of ribbis? Isn't it very clear that you're selling it for the cheaper price to them because they're giving you time? They're not demanding immediate delivery? So isn't that an issue of ribbis? That the fact that you're taking the money for it in exchange for the time. Now that's not what you're gaining from this. It's not the time. Even if there was no time lag, you'd be happy to enter into this deal. The point is that you have contracts on hand. And when you go to your wholesaler and you say, look, I have all these orders, I have these contracts, that helps. That helps open up business for you. The wholesaler is going to want to develop a relationship with you, a business relationship with you, and that's what you're looking for. So that's a benefit in its own right. It's not the time. You're not interested in the time. Rav Acha b'Rei Ravika Amar Nichlu D'Mozli Gavayu, that the wholesaler is going to do even better. He's going to give you cheaper prices. If you're able to show him, look, I promised these people I'd give them at a cheaper price, the wholesaler, not wanting to lose your business, is not going to want you to break even. He's going to want you to make a little bit of money, so he'll give you an even cheaper than wholesale price. He'll go down a little bit for you, he'll work with you so that you'll be able to make some sort of profit margin so that he can have an ongoing relationship with you in the future. So my binai, what's nafkamina between these two reasons? Nafkamina would be if you're new to the business. So if you're new to the business, there's no reason that the guy should believe you that you've sold it to people at a lower price, and therefore he's going to give it to you for an even lower price. The second reason doesn't apply, right? But even if you're new to the business, if you're able to show that you have orders, say he's going to want a relationship with you, and he'll be willing to open up his store for you, right? But in terms of the lower price, that's not going to happen if you're new to the business. Now, Tosfos says, Nichlu d'megaldu tare, he quotes Rashi, that based on the money in your hand, it's going to, the people will be more excited to enter into business with you. Tosfos says, wait a second, why then is the only nafkamina if you're a new person in the business? Shouldn't there be another nafkamina if you're old in the business, if you're already well known? Because if you're already well known in the business and you already have a reputation, then there's the first reason shouldn't apply. There's no benefit of him wanting to do business with you. He already wants to do business with you. He already tries to give you as many opportunities as he can. So that reason shouldn't apply, but the second reason should apply. Right, if you're old in the business, that he trusts you, and he may give it to you for a cheaper price. So Tosfos says, according to Rashi's understanding of what these reasons are, there should be another nafkamina if you've been in the business for a long time. Okay, so Tosfos has an alternative approach. We don't have time to get into right now. I want to try to catch up today. Besura Azli Arba Arba, new case. In Sura, things sold for four at a time, four measures of produce for a zuz. The Kafri, in a place called Kafri, Azlan Shisa Shisa. It was cheaper. It was six measures of whatever it was for a zuz. So Yav Rav Zuzi Lechamri, Rav gave money to the donkey drivers, V'kabalei Unsa De'orcha, and Rav says, I'll take on myself whatever responsibility of the travel, of what could happen along the way when you're traveling, V'shaklu Minayu Chamisha, and he took five for a zuz from them. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, we just said you're allowed to take the full price, right? V'nishkol Shisa, why didn't he take six measures of the produce for his zuz? Why did he only take five? Why such a small markup? He took upon himself the responsibility, he should take six for his zuz. So answers the Gemara, Adam Chashav Shaini. Yeah, but he was an Adam Chashav, so he should try to stay out of, he should try to be even more machmir. Why? He's not allowed to make money because he's an Adam Chashav? So the Levush explains that these halachas of ribbis are so complicated. Salachs of ribbis are so, the cases, the difference between the cases is so fine sometimes that it's very difficult to really know when it is ribbis, when it's not ribbis. So people are going to see that this guy, that this Adam Chashuv is taking a lot of money, he's taking a lot of produce for a smaller amount of money, they're going to assume that it's ribbis, and they're going to assume that it's okay. That this kind of ribbis is okay, and they're going to make a tzushtal and assume that other kinds of ribbis are okay. Now, I don't really understand that explanation because he's still taking more than the four. He's still taking five. So I don't really understand why he really saves himself from that. But the Levush understands that it's some type of Maris Ayin issue. Now in general, when we have Maris Ayin, there are two separate issues. There's something called Maris Ayin and there's something called Chashad. Ramosha writes in Tshuva, Maris Ayin means that I'm going to see you doing that and I'm going to say, oh, that must be Mutter. Chashad is, I'm going to see you doing that and I'm going to say, wow, that guy must be a Rasha. He's doing such a terrible avera. People very often misunderstand. They assume that when you go into McDonald's with the yarmulke on, say, isn't it Maris Ayin? At worst, it's chashad. Meaning, if I think that you're buying a cheeseburger at McDonald's, then probably it's not because I think McDonald's is kosher. Maybe in Israel. But probably because I think that, I think that you're a Rasha. And that's the issue. What's nafkamina between Maris Ayin and chashad? So Ramosha writes that the Gemara in Beitza says that Maris Ayin, even if you do it in the privacy of your own home, anything that Chazal asr because of Maris Ayin, even when no one's around, it's asr. Chashad is probably different. When they asr something because people are going to think you're a Rasha, even though you're not really doing anything wrong, so that probably b'chadrei chadarim is going to be mutter. But some type of Maris Ayin issue over here that the Levush understands, that people will think that it's mutter to do other types of ribbis because of what they see you doing. What about, instead of with produce, what about if you have a very similar deal with scrap metals, right, where you're the chamarim are taking, are promising the people who the balabatim, in the place where it's more expensive, the cheaper prices, in order to develop a good relationship, to have more orders, to develop a good relationship with the wholesaler. What if it's not produce, it's scrap metals, which are not always available by the same wholesaler? So the havamina is, maybe the relationships aren't that important, because whoever has scrap metal today is not going to have it tomorrow. So it's a different person every time. So Rabbi Yossi wanted to enter into such an agreement with Klei Pishton, and Rabbi would not allow him. And some say Rabbi tried to do this with scrap metals, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would not allow him. So it's not okay. Pardesa, when it comes to a pardes, it comes to an orchard, or in this case, a vineyard. So you make a deal, you have a vineyard, you don't yet have fully ripened grapes, nor do you have wine, right? But I tell you, I'm going to sell you all the wine that comes out of my vineyard for X amount. So Rav Asar Shmuel Shari. Rav says Asar, Shmuel says Mutter. Rav Asar, keeping the Kamesh Avi, it's famous, Chazi Kiagar Natalei. Rav says it's Asar because obviously it's much cheaper right now before I actually have the wine, and because you're paying me right now, you're getting a cheaper price, and essentially I'm taking money you're taking the cheaper price in order to, in exchange for waiting, in exchange for time. That's called ribbis. So that's aser. Shmuel Shari, Shmuel says, no, you're assuming risk also. Given since very often the grapes can spoil, they can rot, the wine can spoil, a lot of things can go wrong. So you're taking a very serious risk when you enter into this deal to buy the wine. So it's not just all schar. It's not that you're getting benefit for waiting. You're taking a risk. You're taking a calculated risk. So that's why it's going to be mutter. It's not going to be ribbis. Amrav Sim Barchio, Modi Rav, even Rav will be modi that it's considered a risky investment. Beturi dinafish psedayu. When it comes to oxen, because that very often goes bad. The investment very often goes bad when it comes to oxen. Why does the investment go bad when it comes to oxen? I'm not sure. It says Rashi, makom shabotzun kramim b'shvarim ba'agala. No, I mean the point is in a place where they harvest from the vineyard using oxen drawing a wagon. Umalichnas agala bein shurus akramim muskalpul in ragli ashvarim mikil cheshrashim shabakarka. I mean the point is not that you're investing in oxen, you're investing in the vineyard, but the oxen ruin the vineyard. If it's a place where oxen help harvest from the vineyard, very often they're going to step in all the wrong places and they're going to ruin things. So then it's a really risky investment. Then even Rav will be moda that it's not a problem of ribbis. Amlu Shmuel Ahanu de Shabshi Shabsha. Shmuel told people who used to lend seeds to sharecroppers, Hafochu ba'ara ki yechu dekanu l'chugufu da'ara. Do some work in the land, like dig up a little bit in the land, so that you're kona a piece of the land. V'lo habi l'chu kalva va'asu, because otherwise you're entering into a real problem of sa'a b'sa'a. You're giving them a certain amount of seeds, they're giving you back a certain amount of seeds, and that's a problem at a later date, and that's a problem of sa'a b'sa'a. But if you enter into some sort of kinyan in the land, then it will avoid such problems. Amlu, next case, Amalu Rava Lahanu Demantri Bagi. Rava used to tell the people who would watch the fields, Poku Afuchu Bebe Dari, Kechid Lo Tishtalim Schirus Dithu, Adhi Shaita. Make sure you do some work on the threshing floor so that your wages are not due until that time, till the produce is really ready. Why? The Schirus Ein Mishlam Asal Basof. Wages are always due when the job is done. So if you could just stretch out the job a little bit longer till you actually get paid, it's going to work out much better, because then even if you get paid extra, that's just your boss being nice to you and paying you high wages. But if you were to not continue to do work, and you were to just wait, and then he pays you higher wages, then it's ribbis. Then he's paying you more because you waited. And paying you more because you waited is ribbis. So better to still be involved in some type of malacha so that you could say, okay, now my loan is, my payment is due today, right now, and right now he's paying me more. Stop, because he's a nice guy. He wants to pay me more. So that would work out fine. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rava, Kachlumar Ribbis. Another story. The Rabbanan said to Rava, hey, you eat ribbis, you take ribbis. Why? Why did they accuse him of this? Because apparently everyone else, when they have a sharecropper, they would throw the sharecropper off the field in Nisan, and they would take four measures of whatever, from four kurin of produce from the sharecropper as the payment. Mar natulu ad iyar v'shal kushisa. You keep him on the field until Iyar, and you take six. So isn't that ribbis by giving the extra time and the extra money for the extra time? Isn't that an issue of ribbis? Amalahu, he said, no. Akata atunka of disun shalokadin. You guys are really doing the wrong thing. It's not me that's doing the wrong thing. Arul aris mishtabi. The land is supposed to belong to the aris, supposed to be mishuba to the aris. Iatun misalkisalu benisun masadisalu bekama. By you prematurely throwing him out of the land, telling him, okay, in Nisan, that his job is done, you're causing him a major loss because he's not really done. He can get a lot more out of the land if he waits a little bit longer and he's able to deal with it properly. So I'm actually making him more money. You look at it that I'm taking more money from him, because you know how much more money he made by staying in the land that little extra bit, that little extra while that he was able to stay in the land. He was able to produce a lot more, and he was able to have produced a much higher quality of produce, and therefore he made a lot more money, so I take a little bit extra. But that's not an issue of ribbis at all. Next story. Rav Mari Barachel Mashkenayahu Nachri Besa. A certain guy gave as a security to Rav Mari Barachel a house as security for a loan. Right? Rav Mari Barachel lent a non-Jew a significant amount of money. That non-Jew gave him a house as a security. Hadar Zavna L'Rava. The non-Jew then went, turned around, and sold that house to Rava, while Rav Mari Barachel was in control of it as the Mashkon. Right? But the guy sold it to Rava. Not to Tracer Yachishasa, Rav Mari Barachel did nothing for 12 months. Shakal Agar Besa, after 12 months, he takes the rent for the house, Amti Leil Rava, and he goes and he brings it to Rava. Armalei, Haidilam, Toy Lamar, Agar Besa Ada Idna, he says, let me tell you, the reason why I haven't paid any rental payments up until this point is because the Stamashkanta Shasa. Normally, when you're given a security, you get to keep it for a year. So, Ibai Nachri Lisalki, Lava Matsi Musalikli. If the guy wanted to kick me out of the house within the year, he would not have been entitled to do that. So, Hashalishkalmar Agar Besa. So, meaning up until this point, you couldn't kick me out of the house either, because he's only allowed to sell you whatever rights he has in it. And he did not have the right to throw me out up until this point, neither did you. So therefore, I didn't pay any rental payments up until this point. But now, here, going forward, take your rental payment for the coming year. He wasn't paying rental for the past year. Take your rental payment for the coming year, and this will, so I could continue to live in the house. Samalei, so Rava responded, Iyavi yadana davim mushkanei lamar, love as a zavinanalei. Had I known that this house was a security that you had, I never would have bought it from him. Why would I want to get involved? You obviously like this house. You're enjoying it. Well, I wouldn't want to get involved in something like that. He didn't tell me this. But now that I do know, we're going to follow the laws of the non-Jews when it comes to this. I'm going to follow their dinim when it comes to this. Meaning, I can't take rental payment from you until I give you money, the money that you're owed in exchange for the house. Meaning, you lent the guy money. The house was security. So we're going to follow their laws, forgetting the one-year issue, until you get that money back. There's no way. I'm not taking any money from you for the house rental. Just like their law is that he couldn't throw you out of the house until he gives you the money, and he couldn't charge you rent payment until he gives you the money that he owes you, I'm also not going to charge you rent payment or throw you out of the house until you get the money that you're owed. Tosus over here, first of all, Rav Mari Bar Rachel, an unusual name, no? Rav Mari Bar Rachel, normally we refer to someone by the father's name. Rachel is probably not a father's name, it's probably a mother's name. So Rashi says, Bas Shmuel Hava. Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, Vinishvis, and she was captured, Vinasa Nachri, and she married a non-Jew. A non-Jew took her, Vinizgayer, and then the non-Jew converted. So Ushmei Isur Giyura, the non-Jew's name, who converted, is Isur Giyura, Isur the Ger. Rav Mari Horasa Shlo Bekdusha V'Leidasa Bekdusha. Rav Mari was actually conceived before his father converted. He was conceived when his father was a guy and his mother was a Jew. Umachmas Kvodu Talu Al Shem Imo. That's a little embarrassing to call him Rav Mari Bar Isur Giyura, because that just draws attention to the fact that at conception he came from non-Jewish seed, so we refer to him by his mother's name, Rav Mari Bar Rachel. And that way, and his mother is the daughter of Shmuel, so that's a better yichus to refer to him by his mother's name. Just interesting. Tosus goes through whether there were two Rav Mari Bar Rachels. There might have been two which would have been a remarkable coincidence. Two separate people named Rav Mari, who both were called by their mother's name. Anyway, the next Tosfos is more important. La Halacha Tosfos says that Rashi understands the way we explain this Gemara, that when he came with the rental payments, it was for the coming year. Tosfos says, when do you normally pay rent? So normally the Halacha is rent payments are due at the end of the month, at the end of the year, not at the beginning of the time period. So why would he come in advance with a year's worth of payments in advance? So he says maybe the minhag was to give at the end of each month or something, but still, why is he paying in advance? So he says inami natar shasa haynu shana shniyah. He says maybe you can understand the Gemara that when it says that he waited a year, it doesn't mean he waited the first year. It means the first year obviously he didn't pay anything, but then he waited another year before paying rental payment for that second year. It wasn't that he was paying in advance. Frek Tosos, the second half of Tosos, critical based on what we just learned. Vim Tomar, Mikoch, Dina de Bar Metra, Haila Rav Mari, Lahotzi Miyad Rava. Couldn't Rav Mari tell Rava the sale to you was invalid? You know why? Because I was in charge of the mashkon. I was holding on to the mashkon. And we said earlier that whenever you have a mashkon, you are the closest neighbor. L'may naf kamina, that you are the closest neighbor, that when it comes to Dina de Bar Metra, when it comes to selling that property, the person who's holding the mashkon has first dibs on the property before it can get sold to anybody else. So when he sold it to Rava, when the guy sold it to Rava, couldn't Rav Mari go to Rava and say, sorry, the guy never gave me the opportunity to buy it in exchange for the loan, right? And I should have had the first opportunity to buy it because I'm the closest neighbor by virtue of the fact that I live there. So why couldn't Rav Mari come with such a taina? So tell us the answer is, he could have. He wasn't interested. He didn't want to buy it. But ain't a Konami. If he wanted to buy it, then he could have come with such a tiny. He could have said, I'm the Bar Metzra. I'm the closest neighbor. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amalei Rav Min Bar Nish L'Ravashi. Chazima Rabbanan D'Ka'achli Rabisli. He says, wow, look at that, how all the rabbis take ribbis. Why? D'Avi Zuzah Achamru B'Tishrei. They pay money for wine in Tishrei. U'mivchir La B'Teves. And they actually get delivery of the wine in Teves. So isn't that ribbis? So it's a forward contract. Amalei inhunami acharma kayavi, achala lo kayavi. Meikara dechamra chamra dechala chala. He shaitu dechamivchari. He says, no, you have to understand that when they pay the money, they're paying the money for wine that's pure wine, that doesn't have any shemets of any sort of vinegar or any sort of spoilage in it. Now, how are we going to know what was pure wine in Tishrei? The only way to know is, because sometimes you can't tell at the very beginning when it first starts to turn, you can't tell what's really there. You can't tell if it's purely good wine or if it's starting to spoil. How do you know? You wait a little bit. Wait till Teves. And in Teves, if it's still wine, then you know that was good wine. The reason they wait till Teves to take it is because that's when it's Igloin Milsal Mafreya, that was the wine that they paid for. That was the fine wine that they had paid for in Tishrei. But it's not that it's a normal forward contract. So they're just paying for the wine that they're just taking delivery of the wine that they paid for, which is now Igloin Milsa. Ravina Haviyav Zuze Lubnei Akra Deshanvasa Vishafle Tfei Kofisa. Ravina would give money to the people of Akra Deshanvasa, and they would give him like an extra container full of wine or whatever it is that he was buying from them. Asal kamed Ravashi, so he went to Ravashi, Amalei Mishari, he said, is this okay? I pay them and they give me extra. Is that a problem? Samalei, in Uchuli Yudukamachli Gavach, yeah, they're obviously mochle to you. Amalei ha'ara lavdituhi, but he says, but wait a second, but the land that they're producing the stuff on is not theirs. Meaning, what does it mean it's not theirs? Meaning, says Rashi, so a lot is missing from the text over here. Rashi says, Elishayu Ashirim, these were rich people. Viron b'nei Adam sheinichu sadaseim u'barchu ve'enosim masa karka l'melech. They saw people that abandoned their fields because they couldn't afford to pay the taxes on it. And they went in and they took those fields. And they paid the taxes on it and they took control of those fields. So maybe the wine that I'm buying from them is stolen because the karka is karka, the halach is karka in an exelas. So there's no kinyan on the karka. So maybe I'm taking wine that the grapes are really stolen grapes from other people's karka because this karka doesn't really belong to them. He says, no. Land is taxable. Whoever pays the taxes is the rightful owner of the land. The government has the right to determine that, and therefore, if these are the guys that are paying the taxes, it's their land, it's fine. Says, wow, I've seen rabbis that pay people's personal taxes. There was a person tax, you have to pay for yourself. So these people pay for other people's personal taxes, and then they're meshabed them. Then they take them as like slaves, and they make them work very hard. So Amrlei Hashta Ichush Chiva Lo Ami Luchu Hamilsi says, wow, it's a good thing I'm not dead, so I could explain this to you. Very unusual expression, no? If I were dead, I wouldn't be able to explain this to you. So it's a good thing you asked me now before I'm dead. Hachi Amr Rav Sheshes Mehorkaichu Dahani Betavsta Demalka Manach Umalka Amar Mandali of Karga Lishabed Lamandi of Karga. He says, no, that's the din. The din of the Malchus Adin is that that's totally mutter. That's that you're allowed to do that. That every person is responsible to pay their personal taxes. If he can't pay his personal taxes, someone else who will pay it is allowed to be meshabe that person, and that's totally okay. There's no problem with that at all. Let's do one more story. Rav Sa'orim Achua de Rava Havatak of Inish de Lomalu. Rav Sa'orim, Rava's brother, used to grab people who were bad guys. Umaylu Bugaharka de Rava, and he would make them work for Rava, schlepping him all around. Rava used to be held up on a chair to get through the crowds that would come to hear him, so they would carry him as a derech kavod. So he would make these people be the schleppers to carry Rava up on on his chair. Armle Rava Shaper Kavad. Rava says that's okay. If you see people who are bad guys who don't pay properly, where do we know that you're allowed to be mishtabid them? It says the only b'em tavodu referring to an Eved Kanani, but then the next word, uba achechem. So we see that even your own brethren, if they don't behave, you're allowed to be mishtabid them. Yachal afilu noy kashura. I think even if they behave, you could do this. So tamalomar uba achechem b'nei Yisrael ishba achiv. Pasuk continues losir debaba farach. You're not allowed to overwork your own brethren. So no, only if they're very much misbehaving are you allowed to do this. That's why it's mutter. Otherwise, it would be aser. Okay, Hashem will pick up from next case tomorrow.